Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Power through the Alaska Airlines studio.
On Seattle Sports.
We're going to see you on the interview.
Don't really work that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
Hello, Brock. You're here, and so is Sam Howell. Why is he here, and is he good? Those are the questions I have for you. I think I have an answer to the why. It's been interesting trying to figure out, is he good? Is he good?
Uh-huh.
Here we go.
Yeah. This is one of those situations where you and I are similar. That news came down, and I did not have an immediate reaction.
I was like,
golly, I got to now figure this thing out. Thanks, John. Thanks, Seahawks. Appreciate that. Just enjoying my nice little Thursday when saw my buddies up north, the Harnish Auto family, Eric Butler, Kia, Ward up there. Shout out to Chevrolet of Everett. Thank you.
Good.
That's a minute in shout out. And I'm like, I think I like Sam Howell. I certainly remember him against the Seahawks. He's great. 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, scrappy, feisty. In many ways, reminds me of Baker Mayfield. Now, Baker was the number one pick, and Baker, you know, had tons of success at Oklahoma, and Sam's career was like mine. Just kind of went off a cliff his last year there at North Carolina, and he tumbled in that draft when many before the season thought he was a bona fide franchise first-round quarterback. 2 years college tape told you this guy is a first-round quarterback. Went back to school, played with a lot of young people, got beat up, bad habits, plummeted in the draft. Goes to Washington, kind of sits and learns amidst all that chaos, as Braham was talking about. Eric Bieniemy, who's kind of a mess, as he was inferring, the system that was a mess with him thrown at 70% of the time and taking a beating, and he wore down over the course of the year. But I like what Braham said, and the more I kind of dug into it, once you figure out the third and the fifth for a fourth and a sixth, it comes out to a seventh in your good old-fashioned fashion chart. This guy, for a seventh-round pick, paying him $2 million for the next 2 years with the upside he has, it's a value play that they couldn't turn down.
Wouldn't you have felt better if they just gave up a seventh-round pick for him?
Yes.
Tell me that's the value chart, but at the same time, you keep telling me that, you know, this draft is top-heavy.
Correct.
I mean, like, I'd feel a lot better if they gave up a sixth-round pick for him, or even a fifth-round pick for him.
I would, too.
There's something about, you know, the loss of one of your two third-rounders when you don't have a second-rounder that sure doesn't feel the equivalent value.
See, that's the other side of it, that once you kind of started to do that, hold on a second, that is one of those extra third-rounders that you do kind of desperately need. But this is where they've done all of their valuations. I would say this, you know, very confidently as well, that when they looked at the top QBs, there was and we know this is the way they do it. You know, here's our group. Where's the next kind of ledge? Where's there a big drop-off? I've called it like halibut. When you're halibut fishing, you look for that drop-off because the big lazy halibut love just sitting below it and all the food tumbles down to them, and that's where they'll hang out. So where is that ledge? There is a big, to me, enormous ledge after Nixon Penix. I mean, I don't know if there's another guy that I would draft, really. And I don't think he wanted to sit in a situation where I'm going to come out of this draft again without drafting a quarterback. So I'm sure in his mind, like,
you've got to have a young player.
Yeah, this is us drafting a young player who happens to be younger than Penix and Nix. By birth certificate, he happens to be younger than both of those guys, yet he's had 2 years in the league and just started 17 games. And oh, by the way, against us, nearly beat us and played great. So, yeah, you start to put all those factors in, and it is one of those, like, yeah, I guess that really does make sense. And the more that Braham talked about upside and upside and upside, the kid out of Michael Pratt out of Tulane, to me, doesn't have that upside. Spencer Rattler, little guy, to me, doesn't really have all that upside. Jordan Travis, maybe Florida State off of an ACL. Like that dude. Not a real natural, accurate passer. Not as good of a passer as Sam is. So
does this give up the dream top four quarterbacks?
I tossed and turned all night.
Because I think it does.
I tossed and turned all night.
I think that is now.
I couldn't sleep last night.
Really? Me neither.
Oh, don't tell Salk that.
Was your dog
2 a.m.
Was your dog pooping all night?
3 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m. No. I was just tossing and turning. Does this now give us the dream?
Revisions of J.J. McCarthy just slowly drifting
this
away.
Is, Brock, I got haunting you. J.J.'s not coming to Seattle.
No, he's not.
That's pretty much a done deal. I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah,
and I think that's what necessitated
this. Sister-in-law is going to be very excited about that. She was done. She was done with me.
Yes,
can't even look at you anymore. She was like, I'm out.
Now I'm just picturing Brock tossing and turning with nightmares of J.J. McCarthy with a rose in his mouth.
My sweet JJ.
I I think that's what this is about. I think you look at it, and if you're John, and news came out just a few minutes ago that I think backs this up, as the Vikings just traded to get back into the first round. They traded with the Texans.
They already had a top first round.
Right,
top
10. To get back into it a second time. Gotcha. So now they're going to have 11 and 23. You can look up all the details of that deal. But if they want to get up a whole lot higher than that, if they want to get up to 5 or 6, now they're capable of doing it with a couple of first round picks. You don't have that.
Nope.
You don't have a second round pick. You have the 16th pick, which isn't as high as Minnesota's anyway. And so if you truly want a quarterback, you just can't get it.
Yeah, new regime, new organization. You're not giving up probably the 25 picks. You know, you're just not doing that. You're letting this young group develop and coalesce and figure each other out, both as players, as staff, and all of that.
So JJ's dead to us. Yeah. Rich Eisen's supposed to come on next week?
Sure.
You can cancel it. Okay. Donate him. Tell him forget it. Yep. JJ's off the table. No more discussion of him.
Okay.
Brock, we will never say his name on the show ever again.
That dude stinks. Okay. Done with him.
There's nothing else we might want to talk to Rich Eisen about.
Was it, Maura. Cancel the interview.
What else does Rich Eisen know?
Want no part of Rich Eisen ever again on this show after the JJ
Now, does it preclude, does it mean that Bo Nix and Michael Penix, if they were to fall?
No, it doesn't. I didn't say that. I think it makes it less likely, but I don't think it means that those guys are non-starters.
Yep.
I think that it makes it less likely.
Agreed.
But I would say this takes the first four guys off the table entirely.
It takes the pressure of quarterback off the table.
It also takes the upside of quarterback off the table.
Well, possibly. Yes. But you listen to Bram and you watch some tape and you kind of turn your head this way and you're like, man. Is a good young player.
I got some stats that are great. I mean, he's obviously tough. Started all 17 games.
Super tough. He got beat the heck out of North Carolina as well.
He is reasonably mobile. He had 263 rushing yards, which is about 100 more than Geno, and 19 first downs, 5 touchdowns running.
North Carolina basically became a run offense his last year because they were so limited in so many ways.
All right.
He was running the ball a ton.
He's pretty accurate. 63% completion percentage last year is basically in line with Geno's career and just behind what Geno was last season. So despite throwing the ball about a bazillion times, He did complete a lot of a really high percentage of those passes. 63% is pretty good.
Yep.
And yeah, he's supposed to be very coachable. He's very young. He's only 23, as you mentioned, younger than either Penix or Nix. But he led the league in two categories you really don't want to see: interceptions and sacks.
Correct.
And there were a lot of both, and there was a lot high percentage of both too. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just that he threw the ball so many times that the picks were up. He threw 21 picks.
Yes, he did.
I mean, that's a lot of interceptions. Yes, it was. And then the last thing that really kind of makes me nervous were those two words that Bram uttered, in addition to all the positives, and there were a lot of them. Yep. He said he could be Kirk Cousins. He said, you know, there's maybe a kind of accuracy of Cousins combined with the sort of brazenness of a Baker Mayfield, right, an aggressiveness of a Baker Mayfield. I kind of like that. That's an intriguing player.
Yes.
How concerned are you about those words, seeing ghosts?
Yeah, a little bit. That's not great. And that's taking a beating. I was actually more concerned. I'll use a John Schneider word. And Bram didn't say it, but as he was talking, I'm like, juice. I need juice. Come on, man. I need you to come in here and have some juice at that position. And it was chaotic, and Washington had been a horrendous organization that he was drafted to. And then the ownership change and Ron Rivera and Bienemy's, you know, feisty and messy. And I mean, you got all this stuff, but I need some juice, man. Come on.
I took the implication of juice by him saying he wanted him to be, he's a vocal guy. He wants him to step up.
No, he's not a vocal guy.
I don't think he is.
Not a vocal guy.
Not what Brandon told us.
Yeah.
No, he's not a vocal guy. He wanted him to be vocal.
Yeah, okay. Kind of need a little more vocal. And seeing ghosts, I don't know. Maybe it's just when I hear seeing ghosts, I think Tim Couch and David Carr.
Mm. You don't think of which one's Sam Darnold saying it?
I guess I could.
I don't like that.
Mic'd up.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Colin once told us. Yeah. I don't like that. Right?
I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
That makes me a little bit nervous. So I don't know.
It's a value upside play, and you take a swing, and they didn't like anybody late in this draft, and they protected themselves at quarterback.
Mm.
If they couldn't get JJ, if somebody goes up at 12 and takes Bo Nix, and these guys are way overdrafted,
he's younger with more upside, and they like him better, more experienced than DTR or Tyler Huntley or any of the other guys that were potentially available. So, I'm certainly not killing the move. Mm-mm. I don't know whether I'm doing backflips today or I'm excited because I feel like the Seahawks have their guy, but I also certainly am not going to kill the move. It's sort of like a lot of the things they've done. It's
Yeah, all right. I get it. That sounds kind of fine. Like, okay.
Now go coach him up.
Yeah.
Now go play better. Right, now go play better in this system than you did in the other system.
All right.
Now I'm mad that we've already ranked ghosts.
Huh?
So today would have been a good day to do ghosts again.
Darn it. Let's rank ghosts again. All right.
Get off my train!
Frank has most the same things in it anyways. Just do ghosts again. Like, it doesn't matter.
Ghost of Tom Jones.
Wow.
From you act like it's so original.
Is this what happened? This is what I've learned doing these Fridays. She comes out the top rope like Snuka.
Wait till G gets in here. She's going to beat G up.
Jimmy's Superfly Snuka Dooley.
Mora is furious.
Well, Brock kind of instigated something.
At G Scott. That is going myself. Down.
I am the key master.
I am the gatekeeper.
That's going down at 8:30. Those two are going to brawl at 8:30 this morning. G is here. Oh, my gosh. Look at this man. That's coming up later. Before we do any of that, Brock, we all hail to your psychic powers. Next on Brock and Salk.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Day four of free agency. Probably the busiest one the Seahawks have had. They made a couple of moves yesterday. I'm going to get to Brock's genius here in a moment, but let's start with the big acquisition in the trade market of Sam Howell. He comes from Washington in a deal that sends a third and a fifth rounder there. They also get back a fourth and a sixth. He was the starter last year, started all 17 games, led the league in passing attempts, but also in picks and in sacks. He's going to be here, but according to John Schneider on yesterday with Wyman and Bob, not going to be starting, at least at the beginning.
Young, you know, he's 23 years old and has 18 starts, you know, in the league already. And, you know, he's the same age as like Daniels from LSU and Rattler and Penix. And he's a year younger than Bo Nix. And, you know, so, you know, we're just really excited to be able to acquire him. And, you know, we know he's a serious dude. And, you know, he's into it. He worked his tail off. We got great reviews on him, and we loved him coming out of college. So, yeah, we're happy to get him in the mix, and Gino's the guy, and Sam will be backing him up.
He is a serious dude. He's a Southern boy, too.
North Carolina guy.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
From North Carolina.
North Carolina guy. Not ideal height.
Luke know him?
Luke, no, well after Luke, but dude threw for 17,000 yards in high school.
I wasn't sure whether Luke has some, you know, alumni.
Some juice.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I hear John say that serious guy, when I hear Bram say, wish he would have talked more, he's got just some of that Southern, like, just.
Chill.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there's got to be, and Gino, I think, will be great for him. He had dysfunction back there in Washington. Just so much chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Unsettled ownership, unsettled coach, lame duck coach, multiple coordinators, a coordinator that is just a bit off his rocker, like just crazy. So come here, work with Gino, yeah. Push Gino.
Gino seems psyched about it,
he
too,
did.
By the way. He was pretty pumped about bringing that guy in.
He did.
So.
And we'll be out at OTAs, and we'll be out in training camp, and I promise you, you'll be like, this dude can throw the rock.
Yeah.
And in a system, what did I say to you? This system, you've got to use every blade of grass
right.
Horizontally. You got to push it vertically, and he will wing it around.
Got to make good decisions, though. And the sacks yes. And certainly the picks are going to have me a little nervous until we get a chance to watch a little more of them. Brock, let's bow to you. Yesterday, spent a while talking about Tyrell Dodson, the linebacker, former Bill. Yesterday afternoon, he signed here in Seattle.
Yeah, it was real complicated.
You're a soothsayer.
Oh, super complicated for me, yes.
You say sooth.
Yes. You just looked at the list and like, okay, who's high-graded players still out there? This guy's really well-regarded in that PFF world, kind of like the Rayshon Jenkins was as safety. And I don't think, as Jerome Baker signed, Jerome Baker, the tackle maker down there from the Miami Dolphins, he's visited Tennessee. And if he is not signed, I don't think it's just one and done with Tyrell.
You need two linebackers.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out on that one as well.
All right. As for Dodson, he had a pretty decent year last year filling in for Matt Milano. 2.5 sacks, 74 tackles in 10 games, 10 starts, 6 quarterback hits. Defended a couple of passes, forced a fumble. So, yeah, pretty good season. Really his first starting significantly. We'll see what he does. And likely a starting role here in Seattle.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
2 days after everybody got a little nervous about Brian Wu being scratched, turns out that not only was he just pushed back a day, but he was
perfect.
Pretty filthy yesterday.
Perfect.
He was perfect.
He threw a North Hill Hillbillies perfecto.
Yep, four innings. Perfectly, which is great to see. He was happy with it.
Kind of like last time, focused a little bit more just on competing. I feel like the stuff will continue to get better if I just kind of focus on that. I feel like I'm thinking about working on things or throwing everything, like, it's not going to be as good. Competing just kind of takes care of everything else. It's like, why would I wait till the first pitch of season to start competing or start kind of getting in that mindset? Like, I think it helps me more if I just focus on it now. Stuff will get better, like the pitches and off speeds and all that stuff that, you know, I've been working on, whatever, like, it all just kind of gets better if I focus on competing.
Don't think, just throw. And it sounds like when he does that, he's pretty darn effective. I saw some of the video of it yesterday. Pretty good. Very, very good, actually.
Travel size, Luis Castillo.
It's not travel size. He's a big dude.
Trial size, Luis Castillo.
No, you can't say that.
I don't like Luis Castillo light. I don't like diet Luis Castillo.
Okay.
We got to figure.
But travel size isn't right because he's certainly got the legs that are bigger than Luis Castillo's. Yeah. Decent offensive game for them as well. Haniger with a home run. Cal Raleigh with a home run. And third base continues to produce, at least in the spring.
He's going one. Pitch swung on and sent to right field. Backing up the right fielder, Hinklin on their track. Looking up. And it's gone on the burn. Opposite field home run number two for the Mariners. Luis Urias with his second homer as a Mariners, fourth RBI. And the Mariners have a 4-1 lead here in the sixth.
He's not a big guy, but he's got a little pop in there.
Oppo Taco?
Oppo second of the game. Haniger went to right also.
Too. Someone got some loud whistling skills there in that stadium.
All right, just keep an eye on it because as of now, they're continuing to
produce. Mitch is hit. They're all hit. If you looked at their stuff, like, they're all hitting right now.
Yeah, well.
Like, let's get the regular season started. Most of them. Well, not Luke Raley.
Everybody but Luke Raley's really hitting the ball right now.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Kraken with a nice job celebrating Jordan Eberle in his 1,000th game played, but it did not lead to a win. Instead, they fall 2-1 to Washington. Breakaway goal late was the difference. Bjorkstrand did score a goal, but Joey DeCord, tough one, man. He's trying to play the puck. It fell off a stick and gave up an early goal. That wasn't great. Better news for the Cougs. They beat Stanford in the quarterfinals of the Pac-12 tournament last night. Six players in double digits, which is great. Isaac Jones led the way with 16. They'll play Colorado tonight for the right to go to the final.
Pretty cool. They get by that one. More than likely Arizona, who's not lost a conference tournament game with their new head coach over the last couple years. And can you beat the Wildcats three times? That would be something.
Yeah, sure would be. Just as long as they don't have to play Arizona State again, they should be fine.
No, they're done.
That's everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk show. Either way, they're going to the tournament. So,
for sure.
I mean, they're going to be like a 4-seed-ish? 3-seed-ish? 5-seed-ish?
Probably.
Okay.
Pac-12, not great this year.
No.
Yeah, probably going to get 3 teams. I think the Mountain West is going to get like 6 teams. Wow. So.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Who's in the Mountain West?
Lots of good teams.
Really?
Yes.
Crazy.
Yes, it is a little nuts.
All right. That's...
How's your bracket going?
My bracket?
Yeah, you ready to fill out your bracket this weekend?
No, I'm not ready. This weekend I have to do it?
It's, yes.
I'm
it's
not
Sunday,
ready for that.
Bro.
I need a lot of time. I've been busy.
You know what I'm ready for?
I have to clean up poop at least 12 times a day.
What's going on?
I don't know, man. This dog is a factory. She just creates poop constantly. She didn't even eat that much.
Really?
It just keeps coming out of her.
Really?
I know. It's like she's, I don't know.
Huh.
It's very, very disturbing. All right, let's see. While she was pooping and I was being interrupted, I did write a little bit last night, Brock, and just trying to figure out the answer to this question.
You're perplexed.
What are the Seahawks doing?
You are so confused.
I am. I don't know. And it's not a bad thing. I just don't know what to make of it all. So I'm going to ask you for some help next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Galuda to get us ready. Couple weeks away, right? What is it? April 4th, I think?
Yeah.
I got to check in on our tickets and make sure that that's worked out because... G says he's going to bring us to the crib ahead of time. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
But he's not coming. He's not going to come to the show with us.
Quote.
So we do still have potentially a ticket open for somebody to come see Luda with us. We'll see. G and KJ both turned us down, so we're going to have to open that up to some other folks. Brock, what are the Seahawks doing? I asked this question, and I know that there are people who are going to hear me, and knowing my reputation and knowing my history, think that I am taking a shot at the Seahawks. And all I can do is promise you that I am not. I do not think they're doing a bad job individually. I don't really have a problem with any move they've made, honestly. There's no player they've brought in where I've been like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's no money they've given anybody where I've been like, way too much. And there's no player they've lost that I've been like, ugh, they really needed to keep him.
Yep.
I don't have a single problem with what they've done. Zero. Mm-hmm. Honestly, none. I just don't understand necessarily what it's all leading to. And that's not a suggestion that it's not leading to anything. I just don't know that I have a handle yet, and maybe it's still to come, on what the, like, what the end goal is here, how quickly it's supposed to happen, what they think of this current season versus the future. What are they trying to do?
Does it feel like to you, because it does a little bit to me, and maybe this is totally misguided. This is just a feeling.
Okay.
Right? This is what my girls used to submit, but it's how I feel. I'm like, I understand that's how you feel, but that's not like the action. That's not what's going to happen. That's right. Not what's going on here.
That's how I feel.
But I know, I will accept your, and Molly's taught me during those years.
I understand that you feel that way.
Yes.
Totally get it.
You've got to let them have that feeling. So this is just kind of a feeling that may be totally misguided, but it just feels like with every one of these moves and so many of these decisions, mm-hmm. there is a hyper focus on value, like just value to the dollar. Value to that you know, draft. He even said it yesterday, and I'll get to it in Blue 88 when he was talking about guards. Ugh, and over.
I didn't like that.
I understand all that. But it just, and I do wonder if Pete was just kind of like grandpa, like, oh, who cares? Let's go have some more cotton. Let's go have some more cotton candy.
Right.
Oh, who cares? Mom and dad, you know, like, yeah, you're going to stay up with me and watch an extra right. movie, you know, like yeah. I feel, and that may be totally misguided. I may be totally wrong on that, but Pete was a free spirit. Pete was an open thinker. Pete was a player in power. Pete, I think, and it's kind of been hinted at, that loved Bobby. And now I want Bobby, and I need Bobby. We're going to have Bobby. Like, okay. And ultimately, he did have a little bit of that.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't disagree with you. That makes sense. I don't. Yes, that's a common thread. I don't know if it tells me what they're doing and what the goal is. But yes, I agree with
what
you.
What if it's just that? What if it is at every turn with every position group and every player, we are going to maximize as much as we possibly can collectively.
Oh, I think that's a hard way to
build. Coaches and ownership and front office, the value and the valuation of these players.
I think that's a hard way to build a team. I think it's a good strategy for what to do once you know what you want and how to get there. But I don't know. It feels to me more like tactic than strategy. And I'm not going to get into the whole details, because trying to figure out the difference between them is like,
wow,
it takes an entire business class.
Intense.
But it does feel a little bit to me more like a tactic than a strategy or an end goal. And I guess I'm still trying to figure out what it is they're trying to get to, even if that is part of the plan to get there. And wrote about it last night. If you have a few minutes, you can try to help me by reading it at seattlesports.com. Because I kind of look in through and say, okay, I got three like possibilities.
All right.
Do they believe they're close to contending for a Super Bowl? Like, they're really close, and they maybe this new coaching staff is going to push them over the top. And so you add a couple of, you know, guys around the margins. You don't move on really from anyone in the crux of your team. You keep all your top talent here. Mm-hmm. You're playing to your quarterback's strengths. You're adding some older players, right? Or make sure you retain an older player in Leonard Williams, who's more of a difference maker right now. And everything is sort of these short-term deals that seem focused on what you're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they think they're close to contending for a Super Bowl.
Mm.
Or maybe they don't believe they can contend in 2024, and you're trying to get yourself ready for 2025 and beyond. Because if you really thought you were ready for a Super Bowl, don't you think you'd be going after a Danielle Hunter? Or somebody like that who's going to push you over the top right now, even if it's going to, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul a little bit?
Yeah.
I would think. So, okay, do they think, just let me kind of Vizzini my way through this for a moment.
Sure.
Because I
is that
really,
Yiddish, Vizzini?
No, that's the guy in The Princess Bride who truly has a dizzying intellect. So I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me. Because I'm going back and forth a little bit.
All right.
So maybe they don't believe they can contend in 2024, and they're trying to get ready for 2025 and beyond. Because it can happen quick,
yep.
Right? What did it take the Texans? 12 months? Texans might be the fifth best team in the NFL right now, mm-hmm. right? They might be. We'll see when it's said and done. Once they get through this draft where they still have a lot more capital, like, they might be one of the five best teams in the NFL this year. So, okay, maybe they think that this is going to be a long-term plan, and next year is not really the contending year, so you still got to fill out a roster. You got to get to 53. You have to have a linebacker. You have to have a safety. You got to bring somebody in. but no long-term commitments, right? None of the deals they've signed have been for longer than 3 years, as far as I can tell. They're mostly 1 and 2 year deals. You've moved on from all these guys, Jamal Adams, Quandre, et cetera, and did it all by putting all of the salary cap hit in this first year, yep. opening things up for next year. Yep. So, all right, maybe you're looking at this and saying, yeah, this isn't the year. Next year's the year.
Yep.
But
are you still Vezina?
I am, because okay. they're not like stripping the team down to the studs.
Nope.
You're not trading away any of the talent you have to try to bring in more draft picks. And if you really are building, you only have the 16th pick. Houston did it with, you know, big time picks in the top five, mm-hmm. getting it right in a quarterback, right? And 2 picks that they had up there. Mm-hmm. That's how you rebuild quickly is like that. And the Seahawks aren't doing that. So it doesn't really feel as if they think that they're, you know, a year away or 2 years away. So what are they doing?
Yeah.
Or maybe this, you can't tell anything, because John just likes to bring in not a lot of big-time players in free agency. Well, he's a five nickels instead of a quarter guy.
I think it is very hard to put some of the baseball optics and baseball build into football. I think it's very hard. I think this is a much, much easier operation to do with baseball because of farm systems.
Yeah. Yeah,
because of all of the components that come with it, with the international, with the growth and the depth, and where, hey, man, this player's got to mature at this time, and I'm not going to put him out there, you know, at 21 or 20. Like, you know, there's just a maturation and kind of a scale, like with baseball, and that's seemingly the 30 of them now.
Yeah, I understand that, but I understand that, and you've told me that, and I believe you, and I get it, and I'm not trying to baseball-ize this football team.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a text here saying, but what you don't realize is that Brock is left-handed. Yeah, that's good. I appreciate that. What I'm afraid of, the fear, is that if you're not truly going down one path hard, that you're stuck in the middle. And they've been stuck in the middle here for the last few years,
mm-hmm.
right? A lot of kind of make the playoffs, just miss the playoffs, bounced in the first round. You know, the difference between yep. 7 and 10 and 9 and 8, really not that great mm-hmm. in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of hovering in that way. They've got a good quarterback, not one of the elite guys. No real plan that we can see to get one of the elite guys. They've got some good talent. Some of it's in the wrong spot, but they don't seem to have a complete roster that's going to
because
immediately
unlike,
challenge.
Unlike baseball, where if you win 54% of the time and you just get into the tournament, anything can happen.
Right.
Football doesn't really feel
no,
that way.
No, you've got to get to the top.
Football doesn't feel like, man, if I win 54% and I'm just there at 9 or 10 wins every year and I just get into the playoffs, football doesn't have that same carryover. Football's like, no, you got to be the one seed and you got to have those 2 games at home.
You better be one of the top two.
Yes, and it kind of just shows you that, no, you know, and just traditionally, you look at those teams like, yep, that Philly team, or yep, that Kansas City team, oh, yep, that San Francisco. They're just equipped.
There are occasional exceptions to it,
there
but
are.
It's the exception, not the rule.
Correct. Whereas I think in baseball, that 54% deal right. for the last 20 years is like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, so that's why I think this isn't, I'm not just looking at it through a baseball lens. I get it, man. In football, you got to be at the top.
So I think, Ted, if I'm going to, what's the opposite of Vezinian?
Vezinian?
Yes. If I'm going to do the opposite of that.
So
what
I can
is
clearly
it?
Not choose the wine in
clearly
front of me.
Clearly not choose the wine in front of you.
Yes.
But you must have known I was not a great fool. You would have counted on it. So I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
It's a very
he committed one of the classic blunders.
What did he end up doing, by the way?
Huh?
I don't remember.
He switches the glasses.
Oh, he did.
And then, unfortunately for him, they were both laced with iocane powder.
And he was done.
He'd been in Australia.
Didn't matter if he was eating anyway.
Bamboozled.
Huh? He got bamboozled.
Yes.
You fell for the oldest drink in the book.
I'd have to say, Salt, if I was going to answer this and make and pick one of those two, I would say they are trying to not only find that value, as I said to you earlier, I think they're just trying to balance everything out. And Bram said it about Washington the year before. So the beauty of, you know, the Washington situation and what this new staff inherited and everything else were a lot of expiring contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Quinn is able to come in here and really, you know, take some shots and add some veteran pieces and do what they're going to want to do. Oh, and by the way, I got the number 2 pick to get their quarterback of the future. So when you're not in that situation, you know what? Let's balance this thing out. We're a little out of whack here. We're a little out of whack at safety. We're a little out of whack in some of these spots. Let's balance this thing out. Let's see which of these rookies and second and third year players really emerge to be dudes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's time for Ken Walker, for K-9. Like, you want to be one of these guys that gets $14 million a year? Go be a dude this year. be an absolute 1,200-yard dude that can catch it really well as Charles Cross.
Of like a tryout year?
I mean, look at the number of players, Salt, going into year two and three that they played as rookies, like Woolen and Cross and Abe Lucas and K-9 and that whole draft class. Look at last year's draft class that came in here. Take that next step. Year two and three. I want to make sure I got a roster here that is nimble enough, that's balanced enough, that these players, and now with a new coaching staff, if they take that next step and they emerge and they become our Richard Shermans, our Cam Chancellors. That's when they did it. Not all of those guys did it right away as rookies. You know, Earl had some bumps in the road. Richard played a little bit. Cam had some sat behind.
Yeah, I mean, there's a way to look at it where it's a process.
Yes.
And, this is just, I kind of like that, for the way you say that. It's like, hey, we're just resetting.
We're resetting.
It's not a retool. It's not a rebuild. It's maybe a reset to just sort of kind of getting rid of your bad habits.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
We're resetting.
Kind of shedding some of the issues.
But with the core, like being young dudes that we think can be just stars in this league. That if, Woolen and Spoon in particular on defense. And, Leonard.
The only problem with that is that if you spend this year trying to figure some of that out, and it turns out that some of those guys don't pass that test.
Yep.
Well, now you kind of wasted a year, and you only get so long, A, because the dudes grow up pretty quick and need to get paid in the salary cap system.
Yep.
And B, because, new coach and GM who's in charge for the first time, you're only going to get so
results.
Long.
Yeah.
I mean,
some
I'm not saying
line results.
It's not 1 year, but it's, that's one of your years.
Yep. Come on, Jackson. Come on, K-9. Come on, Woolen. Come on, Spoon. Come on, Derek Hall. Come on, Boye Mafe. Come on, guys. These are all his first contract guys.
Mm-hmm.
And this was about the time that, with obviously Russ and that draft class that was the best in the history of the league, they just took that next step and they popped. So tell me what comes in here this year. Like, if you get another crop this year, you trade down from 16 and you get, in the late 20s, and you get a second, you get a third, and they look like Boye Mafe, and they look like K-9, and they look like Jackson Smith and Jigman, right? And so you can find a few more of these starters with the second-year starters, with third-year starters. Hey, hold
That's
on a
fine,
second.
But you don't have a lot of draft picks to do it. I mean, you had the 22nd highest draft capital, and I haven't looked at what that is after yesterday, but that's going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
How much are you going to have one of those sort of adding to your class with a bunch of dudes when you're going to pick right now 16th, third round, two in the fourth?
Yep.
I mean, we'll see, but that's going to be lower than 22nd on the draft chart.
Yes,
so,
is.
Yeah, I don't know. The one biggest takeaway I think I get from it, and please, I hope you'll read the column at seattlesports.com today. If you're not busy, a little time this morning, just read it, seattlesports.com. The one thing I do feel pretty confident in is that they think this coaching staff, not just the head coach, but the coaching staff is going to get more out of some of the same players.
Yep.
That whether the players were utilized the wrong way or not fully taken advantage, I do get the sense that there is a belief that they are going to get more. And that's a bet.
Yes,
I mean,
is.
We'll see.
Yep.
That may be true. I've seen a lot of texts. Wait till Ryan Grubb gets a hold of Sam Howell. Yeah, that might be great.
Yep.
He did a great job in college. He's never done it in the pros.
Mm-hmm.
He might be awesome at it. I'm open-minded. It's a big bet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big bet to make on a lot of the guys that they're choosing.
We've done all
around.
These Princess Bride references. How have we never used this when Brock's messed up a word?
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Because I hardly misuse words, Justin. Because it's so rare when I do.
Rhyming. I mean it.
Never done that.
Anybody want a peanuts?
This is Brock and Salk's Blue 88.
Blue 88!
We take you to the field as Brock Huard breaks down three football questions as only he can.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Saul.
You brought up guards, Brock. Let me play you what John Schneider said yesterday about them. He was on with Wyman and Bob. Great interview yesterday on their show. Every week leading up to the draft on Thursday afternoon, John joins them. They asked him, what's going on with the guards?
Hard to grade, I would say. It's more the lack of depth and talent at the position over the years. We've seen it deteriorate. There's not a lot of offensive linemen, making blocks and then doing a sack dance. I mean, it's a lot more fun when you're, the young guys are, playing defensive line. I would think a lot of guys would think that, that's a little bit more fun than than blocking for, you know, a quarterback or a running back, right? So, yeah, it's just the nature of the position. It takes a special breed to play that spot. But no, the guys get overdrafted at that position, and in my opinion, they get overpaid.
Mm-hmm. A lot of truth to that. And I heard you earlier. Okay, so what are you gonna do about it?
Right.
Those are the facts. He's absolutely right. Watch the combine. Watch all these body beautiful corners and receivers and run 4.21 and jump out of the gym and watch the running backs and linebackers still look really, really dynamic and athletic. And wow, these guys are talented. And then watch the D-line. Like, how in the world is he running 4.6 and 4.4 and 4.5? And then get to the poor parts. I don't know what the auto part, comp would be, Justin, to an offensive guard, but it's just the dirty work, man. It's just like the last pieces left. Like, man, I love the Pistons. I love the engine. I love all this stuff. And then I got guards that just got to fill in. And he's right. 25 years ago, it was, I want to be a guard. I want to be an old lineman. Mark Schlereth. Like, you're esteemed. Like, look at these great offense. Look at the Hogs. The Hogs were esteemed. O-lines were esteemed. Look at the Dallas Cowboys line of the 90s. These dudes were Nate Newton. These dudes were known.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much today. And certainly growing up. And then they do get overpaid. Damian Lewis can $50 million. We watched Damian Lewis. Like, I don't want to ever pay him $50 million whatsoever to play guard for me. But 4 years experience, got some upside, maybe in our system. You talk yourself into all this stuff. So ultimately, what are you going to do about it? That becomes the million-dollar question. Because, sorry, they're not minimum. And there's not a supply chain. And that has been a challenging spot. And I will say this, though. Same thing that Bram said, who's the voice of the Washington Commanders. Like, yeah, man, O-line linebacker problem. If we went around the league, Carolina, O-line linebacker problem. Like, that's all around the league. You know, it's not just the Seahawk problem.
I think it's hard to solve it by saying, well, those guys are overdrafted, overpaid. Well,
that's right.
Okay.
So does that mean you take Troy Fautanu at 16 this year?
Maybe.
And you make him a guard?
Maybe.
And Charles Cross?
Would argue he's overdrafted, but so what? If you're going to solve the problem.
No, he wouldn't be overdrafted because he'd be a tackle that then you move to
but
guard.
But he wouldn't be because he'd be a guard.
Yes, he would be overdrafted for that position. But we look at him as a – or you have someone that has that kind of versatility, that kind of dynamic dude that can play guard and tackle, and I don't care. Like, we just think that guy is such
a
difference maker.
A good football player.
That's right.
Even if he plays guard.
Yeah.
All right, question number two. I don't know what to make of this, Brock. Why are you asking this question?
Okay, what is it?
What do I have in common with Jim Harbaugh?
Oh, a lot.
What do you mean a lot?
Yes, birds of a feather flock together. You and Harbaugh, so similar.
I wish we were flocking together.
Because Jim Harbaugh said, we're going to pay receiver $20 million.
No. See ya.
So I really like you, Mike. No, thank you. We got an older receiver, great dude, third down conversion maker. We're going to pay him what? No, we'll trade him.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. I'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
So you and Jim, very much aligned in a team built.
Yeah.
And that is, I am not going to overpay wide receivers.
Right.
And I just won a national championship, went 15-0. And, oh, by the way, when I was in San Francisco and took that team to a Super Bowl and nearly another one, Crabtree was a good player.
Sorry, from what I've been told.
Oh, now you're listening to that guy.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I've been told he was kind of a sorry excuse for a receiver.
Let's remember how that team was built. It was built at the O-line. It was built at the D-line. It was built with fullbacks and tight ends and running backs. Like, man, this is this is my view of football.
Right.
And I don't need, and should have been no surprise, that when Jim Harbaugh came in, he'll bring in Will Disley, and he'll bring in big people, and the $20 million wide receivers, you can go do that elsewhere.
Would you have wanted either of those guys, but specifically Keenan Allen for fourth rounder?
Not that money.
Do you have to take on all the money?
Yes. You trade.
How much money was left on his deal? A lot.
I mean, he's making like whatever, 13, 14, 15. Like,
that's a lot.
Yeah, you're taking on a lot of money.
Okay.
Yes. Sure. No thanks.
Fun player.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Question number three.
But you know what you do?
What?
Oh, question three. Go ahead. Boom. Hit it. Push. What you do is you develop the next Keenan Allen.
Right. Exactly.
That's what you do at that position as much as anybody.
Yeah.
All right.
You bring in tight end, and the Seahawks have done that.
Yes.
Who is Farrell Brown?
Yeah, I like
this.
And
why
cut.
Is he going to take on the C-gap?
Yeah, play this cut.
All right, here's John Schneider yesterday.
Well, he's a guy that can take care of the C-gap. He can really block down. He's nasty. He's going to bring a toughness to our offense. He's a tempo setter. I mean, he's got a little bit of an old soul that way. He's going to fight you and not back down, and I think that's that's going to rub off on our offensive identity. I think you'll see that in the run game for sure.
The Pharaoh is an old soul.
Pharaoh's an old soul. Okay, so I just drew a line of scrimmage here. All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to come over to here.
Yeah, I think I know what the A, B, and C.
Okay, draw it out. Give me the A, B, and C.
I think the A
gaps.
Gap is here between the center and the guard.
Good.
B gap's in between the guard and the tackle.
Uh huh.
And then the C gap's probably going to be between the tackle and the tackle.
Right there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He can handle that. You know what's in a C gap? A five technique. You know what a five technique can be?
Run stopper.
290, 280 pounds and long. So you know what you have to have? You have to have a Pharaoh that's willing to go in there and demolish that dude. And when he says an old soul, and I don't know, you know, those of you that are PFF guys and you've got your site right now and you can tell me what his tight end blocking grade was.
It was not as high as his receiving grade, oddly.
Yeah, well, they feel like it is because he's willing to do that dirty work. He is willing to stick his face in there. And if you're going to run pin and pull and you're going to run power and you're going to do stretch, you're going to do some of the things in this run game that Ryan Grubb likes to do, and in particular power, and in particular that pin and pull, you have to have a 255-pound tight end that's an old soul that's willing to stick his face in there, that does the dirty work, that's been around a bunch of different places, kicked around, not, you know, body beautiful and everything else, and yeah, go be dirty and go be nasty. And they think the Pharaoh can do a bunch of that
That sounds great. I'm into that. Totally into that.
Did you see the picture the Seahawks posted of him with Schneider and McDonald?
No.
Oh, but you need to look
He looks
that up.
Like it's his small children that he's putting his arms around.
It looks Photoshop.
Awesome. All right, I'll go look at that. That is today's Blue 88.
They look like trial size human beings?
They're trial size, yes.
Trial size.
Of all the moves they've made so far, he's my favorite.
Pharaoh.
So far. Yeah. I mean, I haven't gotten to see any of them play. Right. Maybe Rayshon Jenkins will be awesome, and he'll be my favorite when it's all said and done. But right now, today, yeah, I think I like Pharaoh. He's my favorite. He's my favorite addition so far.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll hold you to that.
What do you mean you hold me to it? You can't hold me to it.
No, hold you to anything? Yeah. I'm going to hold you to something you like.
Mm-hmm. You're going to hold me to something of a person I've never seen play?
No, I think tacos are my favorite. I'm going to hold you to that.
Yeah, all right. Fine. Hold me to it. Yeah, when Pharaoh Brown makes a mistake, you feel free to come in here and rub it in my face.
I like how you act like Brock's crazy. You're going to hold me to someone I've never seen play? Well, then why is he your favorite?
My favorite addition. I kind of like what they've done. Yeah.
But you just said, but I've never seen him play.
I like the idea of him.
Yes.
I like the idea of Pharaoh Brown.
It comes down to tactics and strategies,
and
Maura.
It's just
very complicated.
I like all the Pharaoh puns that we're going to be able to make.
Yeah, that's it.
There's a lot
of
good Ten Commandments jokes. There's a lot of good Egyptian history jokes.
Yes,
we're going to get the pyramids involved,
the
Sphinx, right? The great city of Alexandria.
It's just a start.
If his name was Al.
The River Nile.
Let's be very clear. If his name was Al Brown.
No, totally Al. This guy stinks. I don't want any part of him.
Pharaoh's a vessel into a much more interesting conversation.
But just wait until I say, hey, you need more Pharaoh Brown, and you're like, no, I don't think they do. And I'm like, look, Brock, the Nile ain't just a river in Egypt anymore for Pharaoh. That is going to be a highlight of this show this year. Mark it down. Bookmark it today. It's coming on Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710.